Good morning and welcome to The Journey. And I'm glad that you're here today. And I look forward to the opportunity to speak with you again about finding stability in God's unchangeability. Well, thank God we have a God that is rock solid, that he doesn't change, that as we observe him in the Word of God, so he is today. And today I'd like to look at the fact that God is an observing God. My boys are into optics. They've got binoculars. I've heard telescopes mentioned lately. I've got a monocular myself, and it's quite amazing. And there have been people that have visited our house that I've taken them out and shown them this monocular. It's a single optic. One eye looks through it. But it has a really cool focal point. And you could be about 10 feet from an object like a flower. And you can focus in on that flower, and you can watch the insects that are buzzing around that, and just that power of observation is great. You know, sight is our most valuable sense. We rely on it more than any other sense. We use it to get knowledge probably almost more than any other sense. The ear would be the second most important sense to us. But certainly those observations are important. We've got, a Mars rover sending back pictures of Mars. We've got the Hubble telescope that's looking out into space. There's just a deep interest that we have in observing life and things about life. You know, God values the sense of sight as well. God is an observing God. There was a prayer of God's people recorded in Isaiah 63, verse 15. It says, "Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory." And it was just that cry from God's people to say, "God, look at what's going on and observe it." Now, they didn't have to ask God to do it because God wasn't doing it. But they wanted to know that God was watching everything that was taking place and aware of what was taking place in their life. And I just like to look at today, what does God see? When God looks at our life, what is he observing? Well, first of all, God sees in the dark. God has the ability to just penetrate and see everything. There's nothing that man can hide in the dark from God, though many times man would like to do that. Psalm 139:11 says, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." All right, if I think I can get away with darkness, it's like somebody flipped that switch on. "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Now, you and I can walk outside, and it makes a great difference if it's nighttime or if it's daytime. To God, it makes no difference. I have a friend that worked for Raytheon in Michigan, and Raytheon was contracted by the government to develop night vision type technologies, and that's what he worked on. He couldn't really tell you what he worked on because it was top secret, but that idea of being able to see in the dark and perceive any transgressions on the part of the enemy, anything that the enemy was doing, you could see it. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." There's a lot of people today that try to hide from the light, and they think, you know, if I can just get into the cover of darkness, I'm okay. But the thing is today is that God sees them. And secondly, God sees the baby in the womb. We're just talking about the eyesight of God and what he can see. God sees the baby in the womb. Psalm 139:15 says, "My substance." Now notice it's not a fetus. It's a person. And David's speaking about himself. "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect." And it goes on to speak about areas of DNA. "In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them." But he's speaking about God's perceptiveness and his eyesight into the very womb of our mother to see us in that place. Now, today we've got technology that allows man to do something similar in ultrasounds. And pregnant mothers will go in and have that scan, and they have the ability to look into the womb. And then there's that big gender reveal party, you know, and you have people come and you, blow something up or do something else great to let it be known the gender of that child. You know, God doesn't have to come to a gender reveal party. God was active in the creation and the life-giving of that child. But beyond that, God has the ability to look into that womb and sees that child even in their mother's womb. So God, again, just sees everything. He sees every man. Every man. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." You know, as we went through our day yesterday and as we go into our day today, there is a God that is observing every man in every place. I enjoyed yesterday getting out a little bit and putting out some flyers, gospel flyers and church flyers. And as I was doing that, there was a little boy that was sitting by a construction site. And his mom had left him there by the fence. And I was actually surprised how far away she was. This little guy was about a year and a half old. But he's sitting there with his little digger, you know, his little yellow cat digger. You know, and you can see him looking at it, and right behind him, about 20 feet away on the other side of the fence, is a full-size digger, and the construction guys are there working. And you can almost, in my mind, I'm thinking, what is this little guy thinking about as he's there doing that? You know, I don't know exactly what he's thinking about, but God, as he looks at us, God doesn't just see the fact that, you know, what we did, but God takes the time to then ponder that and consider that, considering pondereth all his goings. Okay, so God sees every man. Then God sees everywhere. Okay, there's nowhere that God cannot see. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, that's incredible that God has that eyesight that sees literally everywhere. You know, CCTV is a big thing in our day, especially in communist China, that's become a part of their life. I looked up, and there's a city called Taiyuan, I think, in China. 3.9 million people. It has 465,255 CCTV cameras. That's one for every 8 individuals that are in that city. I mean, it's just incredible. You can't go anywhere, and it would seem, and be off camera because everything is being recorded. Now, there's something about us that doesn't like that, especially in the sense of a corrupted government that is intrusive into areas of privacy. But, you know, the problem with us in God's eyesight and him seeing us everywhere has nothing to do with his corruption. He is incorruptible. He is incorruption. But it has a lot to do with our corruption. And it's the idea that God, you know, is penetrating every area so that there is no such thing as privacy of soul from the eyes of God. God sees everywhere, and God sees everything, just like he sees every man. It says in Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature, any man, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, that idea of nakedness is that there would be something that needs a covering because it is shameful. And so that you would desire to hide that, even like Achan, you know, hid in his tent the things that he had stolen from God. If you read that Bible story, I read in the news this past week, and I think even yesterday, that there was some men that smuggled gold into this country under their toupees, you know, and they were found out, and that's pretty clever to try to make it fit your head, I guess, and try to cover it. But there was a way that very thing was seen. You know, again, there's much about our life that we look at and say that is shameful, and our desire would be certainly that nobody knows about it, and even a desire that even God would not know about it. But the thing is this: God not only sees everything that we've done and everything that we possess, but God even sees the very thoughts that are in our minds. Isaiah 66:18 says, "For I know their works and their thoughts." And the thing is this: my motive, my consideration, my knowledge of truth, all of that is known to God. And so I just ask us, as we conclude here, how does knowing that about God, how does that impact my life? God sees in the dark. God sees the baby in the womb. God sees every man. God sees everywhere. God sees everything. How does that impact my life? Well, there is some solidity in that for us, and it's this: right will be rewarded and wickedness will be judged. Okay, there is a truth of what will take place by God's judgment, because God, in his perceptiveness, understands everything. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." And today, if you're a righteous person, having received Jesus Christ as your Savior, having the blood of Christ cleanse your heart, having the wrath of God taken away against your sin, living in a right way before God, walking in purity, walking in sincerity, dealing with sin, the truth is this. Today, you can take comfort and be encouraged, because God's eyes are open unto your prayers. And as you pray to God, just like we looked at recently, that God is a listening God. God is going to hear you when you pray. But the Bible says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Nobody's going to deceive God today. Nobody's going to go to God and act as if they deserve God's blessing, when in fact they do not deserve it, because they're living in a life that is reprobate against God. You know, in a courtroom, you have witnesses, and you call extra witnesses to corroborate the testimony against an individual. God doesn't need that. Nobody needs to say to God anything about you, anything about me, because God is fully aware of that. Therefore, every transgression is going to be disciplined correctly by God. And then lastly, God sees your signal for help or flag of surrender. It's encouraging today that God is observing. Therefore, if a person needs God's help in any way, whether as a righteous person or as an unrighteous person that wants to get right with God, God sees them. There was a story recently in the news about a surfer in a remote area of New Zealand. And he crashed onto the rocks. Nobody else was there. And he could barely get up out of the ocean there and get onto the beach. He gets on the beach before he passes out. He writes the words help in the sand. And because a passerby observed that and saw that sign for help, the Coast Guard was called out and they rescued this man. And I just want to encourage you today that all you got to do is write the sign in the sand that says to God, as a righteous person, God help, and God sees. And praise God, he's aware. And as an unrighteous person that wants the mercy of God, wants the forgiveness of God, wants the grace of God, if you'll just say, God, help, God sees you. And God is aware of right where you're at. And God will help you today. As you watch this video, God is watching you, because he is an observing God. Let's pray. Father, I praise you that you're gracious God. And Father, may we find comfort, not fear, in the fact of your eyesight. Father, fear would be in the heart of the person that refuses to get right with God, that is aware that someday they're going to give an account for every thought, every word, every action. And Father, today, if they understand that, I just pray that the Spirit of God would reach out to them and let them know the love of Jesus Christ for them, of your willingness to forgive them and cleanse them of their sin, take away your wrath against it, if they'll repent and receive your gift by faith. And Father, I just pray for believers. Encourage us. Father, you're watching. You know the battle. You know the struggle. You know the temptations and trials, everything that we're facing. God, help us just to write that word help. And Father, we know that you'll hear the prayers of the righteous and that you're looking for those prayers as well. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. Again, we'll be back next Tuesday and Thursday at 9:30.